I'm Jim Fleming, and this is the podcast of one segment from To the Best of Our Knowledge, Public Radio's Peabody Award-winning magazine of ideas from PRI, Public Radio International, and Wisconsin Public Radio. Rehearsing Shakespeare's tragedy Macbeth, one young actor found himself in the mood for mirth. Like a specter rising from the mist, something began to take shape, a new Macbeth for the ages, with fewer daggers and more donuts. This week's excerpt from To the Best of Our Knowledge comes from a program in which The Simpsons do Shakespeare. Also, Camille Paglia obsesses about makeovers, and we learn all sorts of things about Marilyn Monroe.
Fair and noble Herr Hostess, we are your guest tonight. Conduct me to mine host, we love him highly, and shall continue our graces towards him. Smithers, who wrote this feeble dialogue anyway?
Shakespeare, sir.
Fire the Shakespeare fellow.
I believe he's dead, sir.
Excellent.
An excerpt from MacHomer, a theatrical hybrid between Shakespeare's Macbeth and the popular cartoon show The Simpsons. Canadian actor Rick Miller wrote the one-man show and performs it worldwide. He told Steve Paulson that MacHomer started as a joke when Miller was a cast member in Macbeth. But it soon became a hit, no matter how unlikely the fusion sounds.
It seems unlikely, unless you're in my head, and then it just seems like the most natural thing in the world. I can justify it by saying it's one dysfunctional family does another, but that's pretty cheap and easy. I think that when you start thinking about the casting and to start fitting certain characters together, you realize it actually fits quite well. Krusty makes a perfect drunken porter, and Homer, being quite a stupid Macbeth, also has ambition and cowardice and laziness. It makes for a very, very interesting take on pop culture. And
well, can you give us a taste of the play?
Sure. Little audio excerpts of MacHomer, A Tale of Sorcery.
Arr-har! When shall we three be meeting again? In thunder, lightning, arr in rain. Har-har-har-har!
When the hurly-burly is done, when the battle is lost and won.
Well, that will be ere they set of sun.
Where the place?
Upon the heath.
There to meet with Macbeth.
God, don't say that. It's bad luck.
A Tale of Royalty.
What bloody man is that?
The Thane of Ross, sir.
Hello, I'm the Thane of Ross. You might remember me from other Simpsons do Shakespeare classics, such as Otheldo and, Hamlet.
Excellent. No more that Thane of Cawdor shall deceive our bosom interest. Go, pronounce his present death, and with his former title greet,
MacHomer, sir.
MacHomer.
A Tale of Illusion.
Is this a dagger which I see before me? Or a pizza.
That is wonderful.
I could go on.
Well, I mean, partly what's just amazing about that is how you switch out of, switch from one character to the other. How do you switch those voices so fast? It's amazing.
Practice. It really is a very strange skill that I have developed. Not only switching from very technically different voices, such as Homer, who is a lower larynx, all right, Homer is down there.
Marge is up here.
And you just go back and forth and have them speak in iambic pentameter, and there you go.
Well, I can kind of see Homer Simpson as Macbeth, I suppose. Homer has that streak of grandiosity in him. But Marge Simpson as Lady Macbeth?
Well, Marge wears the pants in the family, if you really look at things. There are some episodes where Marge flips out, and I can see her being somewhat possessed at times. She's stuck being a housewife, and she occasionally just loses it. So for her to push it one step further is what they might have done in a Simpsons Halloween episode, for instance, where characters get pushed to their extremes. And this is one extended Halloween episode.
So why did you pick Macbeth as opposed to, say, I don't know, King Lear, Romeo and Juliet?
Several reasons. One, I was in Macbeth, and that's the play I knew the best at the time, so that seemed a good decision. The other is Macbeth is quite well known. In terms of its pop culture influence, there are a lot of lines in Macbeth, the "out damn spot out, I say," and "is this a dagger" speech, and there are various others that have resonance in pop culture. As well, Macbeth really is, I think, one of the shortest, if not the shortest, tragedy, and it just suited the play. Everything I decided in terms of the casting and what voice fit with what character, it all fell into place, and it has a great, an anti-hero, or the real hero of the play, Macduff, who is played by Barney. And Barney as Macduff is a fantastic figure because he, in The Simpsons, has this tragic pathos to him. He's this pathetic character who used to be extremely intelligent and very ambitious and then got seduced by alcohol, and he's this poet struggling in this... Maybe I'm going too far here. But I think Barney, when he plays Macduff and his family gets slaughtered, there's a wonderful moment in MacHomer where the audience actually very much cares for this character. I don't let it go too far, but they slip into the story, and that's where MacHomer works best, is when it actually is not just parody, it's not just imitation, it actually is a production and a telling of Macbeth in a very different way.
Well, I was going to ask about that, because it's tempting to just see this whole thing as a joke. I mean, a rather ingenious joke. After all, you're incorporating something like 50 different characters into the play. But you're saying that you do want to tap into the tragic nobility of Shakespeare.
I think that's only because The Simpsons are such a well-written and a multi-layered show. And I don't think this is pushing it too far. I have had correspondence over the 10 years that I've done the show from people writing doctoral theses and researching, spending their entire academic career trying to figure out why The Simpsons are so popular. And I think part of it has to do with the fact that they work on the level of slapstick, they work on the level of satire, biting satire, parody, as well as... the characters are well written. They are developed in such a way that you care about them as well as laugh at them. And South Park, for instance, does not have that quality. South Park is irreverent, but The Simpsons have a heart. And I think that heart makes it suitable to bring in the tragic element.
Now, there are some famous scenes from Macbeth. One of them is the dagger scene, and you've incorporated that into your play. Can you give us a sample?
Sure. I'll do the extended version of what I started before.
So. Okay.
MacHomer has just bid Banquo goodnight and is about to go kill the king, and he sees a dagger in the air, and here's what it sounds like. Is this a dagger which I see before me? Or a pizza? Pizza. I see thee still, and on thy blade in dungeon gouge of blood. Where's that tomato sauce? There's no such thing. I go, and it is done. The bell inviteth me. Hear it not, King Duncan, for it is a knell that summons thee to heaven or to that other place.
What's that inferno clanging?
Take that!
Help! Release the hounds! Malcolm!
Shut up!
You'll pay for this, Mick.
MacHomer is the name! I have done a deed. And then we go on with where I started before. So that's the rapid-fire version of the dagger scene.
Now, are there certain points in MacHomer where you actually do feel kind of moved, where it really does go beyond the joke?
It's very difficult acting 50 characters and actually feeling what they go through, because certainly in a dialogue situation where Homer's speaking with Marge, you do feel for... I'll give you an example of a scene that I quite love. It's Marge and Homer, or Macbeth and Lady Macbeth. He's just had a whole monologue where he has basically decided not to kill the king, and he's going to tell his wife that he's reneging on their plans.
How now? What news?
The king has almost supped. Why have you left the chamber?
Well, had he asked for me?
No, you naughty ass.
We will proceed no further in this murdering business. He hath honored me of late, and I have bought golden opinions from all sorts of people, like the guys at Moe's and Banquo, stupid Banquo.
Was the hope drunk when you dressed yourself and blah, 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 and live a coward in thine own esteem?
Yeah, butter's better than cream.
You're not listening.
Prithee, peace. I dare do all that may become a man. Who dares do more is none.
What beast was it that made you break this enterprise to me?
Just to give you an example, that's a scene where Homer is going through quite a bit there, and I would say, yeah, I do feel for him, or I try and convey that, but it's difficult to sink into any actorly emotion when you have to go at that speed and when you have to switch gears completely. So no, I can't say I'm swept away by the emotional curve of MacHomer, but I do try and convey it as much as possible and get into each single moment.
What do you think Shakespeare would make of your version of MacHomer?
Would he be rolling in his grave? I don't think so. I think he would have been rather distraught at many of the productions that I've seen. I think he would have loved The Simpsons, personally. The atmosphere that I watched The Simpsons in when I was in college, this rowdy college crowd at the college bar, is, to me, how I imagine Shakespeare's plays were performed in at the Globe. There, of course, were different levels of audience. There was the nobility and the aristocracy, but there were also the groundlings, the hundreds of people who would gather there, and this was what people talked about at the water coolers of the day. And I get rather distraught when I see Shakespeare that is performed in soft seat theaters where most of the audience is just not getting anything, and they clap politely at the end and they feel that they've, well, at least they've seen Shakespeare, and so now they're on their way to being cultured. And that's not how, to me, Shakespeare should be taken in. It should not be taken in also purely in a classroom situation, too. Shakespeare's meant to be performed. These words were never meant to be studied over and poured the way they are. They were meant to be taken and brought to life. And I think Mick Homer certainly does that.
So why has this happened to Shakespeare? Why has it been turned into this high culture art form when, as you say, Shakespeare really did not intend that, and it wasn't performed that way when he first wrote it?
I think 400 years have passed, and in those 400 years, we speak a different language now. Language seems to me the main barrier, not only the level of sophistication, because there is a lot of sophistication on television, not just The Simpsons, but in a lot of the programs that are out there. It's not all crap, but there's a problem with the language and with a lot of the references within Shakespeare that refer to things that not only happened 400 years ago, but that happened 600 years ago, that people knew then, but that have no relevance to us now. And I think the reason we keep Shakespeare alive and we keep performing it is because the range of human emotion conveyed in Shakespeare's plays, be it jealousy in Othello or ambition in Macbeth or inaction in Hamlet, these are all very real things that we all feel. They're still relevant and they're delivered in such a beautiful poetic way that we still have to keep it alive, but I do think we have to find ways to make it relevant and to communicate to people today.
Rick Miller, author and star of the one-man show Mac Homer. He spoke with Steve Paulson. You've been listening to a segment from PRI's To the Best of Our Knowledge, Public Radio's Peabody Award-winning magazine of ideas. If you would like to hear the program in its entirety, visit ttbook.org or check with your local public radio station. You can also download the entire hour at audible.com/ttbook.